Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. It's wonderful to be together as a church family on Christmas Day, and had a fantastic Christmas Eve service last night with lots and lots of people out, and full church again this morning. It's wonderful. I know that many of you are probably linking up with your families today, and it's a very special day. Some of you, probably your family is a bit more scattered, and it might be a bit more difficult to do that, but I pray that it will be just another special opportunity once again to be able to just enjoy not just the spirit of Christmas, but the message of Christmas, to realise that on this day we set aside each year, we focus particularly on the fact that God has loved us in Jesus. He sent his only Son into the world to become one of us, that we might be able to have a relationship with him personally. And it's such a wonderful thought, and I hope that that thought is permeating your mind on a day like today, even in spite of everything else that's going on in your life. Babies get born every day under all sorts of different circumstances. And I was reflecting on my medical days and thinking of all the different circumstances in which I have had the privilege of witnessing babies being born. I was thinking about, the way it happens in other parts of the world. Many parts of the world, babies are born in mud huts. Sometimes they're born under palm trees. Sometimes they're born in hospital car parks and hospital lifts. If you've worked in any of the big maternity hospitals around the place, you've been a midwife or a doctor in these places, you will know the drama that surrounds where babies get born, even in hospitals sometimes. I can remember back in, 35 or so years ago, I was called to deliver a baby in the back of an ambulance about 25 miles out of Billawheeler, somewhere between Billawheeler and a little town called Banana. Yeah, it's called Banana, it really is. And there on the side of the road with a couple of gum trees and a nurse and a couple of bewildered ambos, we delivered this baby on the side of the road. I've often wondered what happened to that little girl. She was delivered fine. She came from actually one of the most well-to-do cattle families in Australia. And her mum didn't make it to hospital. And she was born, and I wonder what she puts on the birth certificates and things like that. Where were you born? Well, on the side of the road, somewhere between Billawheeler and Banana. And yeah, but anyway, the fact of the matter is that not everybody is born in the Mater Private. And also, most people in the world probably have a fairly ordinary start. That's just the way that it is. The details of our birth, very quickly get forgotten, and that's the way it is. Well, that includes Jesus. Although we do have recorded for us some of these details, only, by the way, just one or two verses in the whole of Scripture that tell us about the birth of Jesus. Yet we make such a huge deal about it when we celebrate at Christmas time. But the arrival of Jesus into the world was really very, very ordinary. And for most people of that day, and certainly the people in Bethlehem, it didn't even register. There was no birth notice in the Bethlehem Times. There was no Facebook message telling the whole world that Jesus had been born. There was just a few people, thankfully a few people, who did recognise the birth of Jesus, even if they didn't fully understand the significance of it at the time. And this morning, just for a few moments, I want us to have a look at the reactions of a couple of these people. Firstly, there was the innkeeper, the guy who owned the place where Jesus ended up being born. I mean, to be fair, Bethlehem would have been extremely busy at the time when Jesus was actually born. There was a Roman census that was being taken, and because of some edict which had come from Rome, everybody was forced to go back to the place where their their forebears, I guess, had lived in order they could be registered for this census. And unfortunately for Mary and Joseph, that meant travelling probably for about 4 or 5 days from way up north in Nazareth all the way down to Bethlehem. And being very poor people, they wouldn't have been able to afford much. And by the time they got to Bethlehem, where were they going to stay? And everything had been booked out. And I guess the innkeeper was so busy looking after all his other higher paying guests that the best he could do for Mary was to sort of say, well, look, there's a barn out the back. There's a few cattle in there, a few sheep there. But look, if that's any good to you, have it. I was thinking to myself, you know, after walking for 4 or 5 days, it's no wonder she was in labour. Yeah, anyway, she might have actually been labouring at the time, and more, almost as a sort of a matter of emergency, they might have sort of said, well, go out the back. There are some people who say, well, why didn't they stay with relatives? It may very well be that for a number of generations that they have lived up north, and they may not have known any of their relatives down south. It wasn't as though they would have been in close communication with them anyway. Well, as a matter of necessity, Jesus happened to be born in the barn. And probably there were some animals sort of around for company at the time. And he was placed in a manger, like the feed box that we have in front of us here at the moment. And that was his first cot. Well, I'm not wanting to be too harsh on this guy, this innkeeper, but the reality is he was probably just too busy to really care all that much about Mary and Joseph and the baby that they were about to have. He was so focused on his business and all the other things that were happening in his life at the moment that he was apathetic. He was apathetic. You know, there are some people today who are like that when it comes to Jesus. Their attitude is, well, I'm really just too busy with my life at the moment to really worry all that much about Jesus. I've got nothing against Jesus personally, but there are far more important things on my mind at this moment in time. As for Jesus, well, he's not all that special anyway. He's just another baby in a very crowded world. And so why should I make such a big deal about him? And so this attitude of apathy is something which comes across. And it's the way that they kind of brush Jesus aside. The second group are the shepherds. That night, the shepherds were out in the fields outside of Bethlehem, and they were having another fairly ordinary and rather boring night. That was the way that it was, especially when you got the night shift. The shepherds were poor by normal standards of the day. They were regarded as second-class citizens. Bethlehem was something like 7 or 8 kilometres from Jerusalem. And so quite probably the sheep that they were raising and looking after on the fields that night were destined for the temple in Jerusalem where they would have been sacrificed. And that was their job. They were just raising these sheep, preparing these lambs for sacrifice in the temple in Jerusalem there. But this particular night, something very unusual and very extraordinary actually happened to them. First of all, an angel appeared to them and announced that this very special baby had been born down in the village in Bethlehem. And then, before the angel had finished, suddenly there was this massive choir of angels who were proclaiming to them the good news of the birth of this baby. He was Christ the Lord. Christ, same word as Messiah. He was the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah that God had promised to the people of Israel. And he had been born. He'd been born that very night. He'd been born in Bethlehem, just down the road from where they'd been looking after the sheep. And we read that there immediately they believed the message of these angels. And they raced down into Bethlehem and searched until they found where this baby had been born. And when they got there, they rejoiced. They glorified and praised God for what they had seen and heard, it tells us. Their lives were filled with joy. And thankfully, there are some people today who recognize Jesus for who he is. They might just be simple, ordinary people, but they respond with joy when they encounter Jesus. There is something about Jesus which is more than just a baby or just another baby. They recognize him as Christ the Lord. The third person I want to mention is King Herod. Herod the Great ruled over Judea, that's the area sort of centered on Jerusalem, for over 30 years. From 37 BC to 4 BC, Herod the Great was the king that had been set up there by the Romans. As he became older, he became extremely paranoid. He was constantly looking over his shoulder, worrying about who was going to bring him down. And so that day, when he heard the news from the wise men who'd travelled from the east that there was a king who was born king of the Jews, well, of course, this really set Herod off, and it made him furious. In fact, he was so furious that he ordered that all the baby boys in Bethlehem, 2 years old or younger, were to be put to death. He wanted to eliminate completely the possibility of anybody setting themselves up as a rival. So here was a man who was aggressively hostile towards Jesus. And again, there are some people today who are like that. They're hostile towards Jesus. Who is this Jesus who's supposed to be a king? What right does he have to make demands upon my life? I don't want anybody to tell me how to live. And these people, they dismiss Jesus. More than dismiss him, they reject Jesus outright. And you hear people today who say things like this: oh, Jesus, he's just a crutch for people who are psychological cripples, people who are mentally weak. He's irrelevant to the modern world. He's only there to spoil our fun. He's a threat to our freedom. He's a threat to our autonomy, our independence. We don't want this Jesus. And so they reject him. And these are people who say to themselves, I am the captain of my soul. It's a famous poem, but I mean, it encapsulates the mood of so many people today who don't want anything to do with Jesus. Just leave me alone. Stop telling me about this Jesus who claims to be king. I don't want to bow my life before him. But then there's this fourth group, and this is the wise men. You know, the story of the wise men, I think, is one of the most fascinating elements in the whole story of the account of Jesus' birth. You have these astrologers, probably from Persia, probably the area that today we know is Iran or Iraq. And these men had discerned the appearance of a new star that they had not noticed before. And the question is, why on earth would astrologers from, you know, roughly 1,000 kilometres northeast of Israel be interested at all in a star that was heading towards the east? Well, I can't answer that question for you. What I do know, however, is that 600 years earlier, a Jew by the name of Daniel had ended up in Persia. And Daniel was famous for his ability. It was a special God-given ability to be able to interpret visions and dreams and special signs. And I wouldn't mind betting, it's only speculation, but I wouldn't mind betting that over these 600 years, astrologers in Persia would have known about this guy called Daniel and this this very unique gift that he had. And that, who knows, they might have in their minds made some kind of connection between that star in the east and Daniel, who they knew came from over there in Israel. Anyway, here they are, these men, foreigners, not Jews, Gentiles. And they're travelling probably more than 1,000 kilometres to worship this baby and to give him gifts that were fit for a king. You think about that. I mean, it's an incredible story. And this king was not just the king of the Jews, actually. He was actually the king for the whole world. And when these men from the east actually found their way to Jerusalem, firstly to Herod's palace, and then from there to Bethlehem, and when they discovered Jesus, they bowed down and worshipped him, and they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts that were fit for a king. What an incredible response. Yet in the presence of a king, these foreign astrologers reacted in a way that virtually nobody else did. There they are on their knees, bowing down before this baby and worshipping him as the king. They recognised something about Jesus that hardly anybody else did. What about us? What do we make of Jesus? That's a good question. In 2007, a busker wearing a cap and some casual gear set himself up at a metro station in Washington, D.C. and started to play his violin. He played 6 Bach pieces for about 45 minutes there as he busked away in the subway. It's estimated that during those 45 minutes, several thousand people actually walked past him. During that period of time, only 6 people actually stopped and listened. There was about 20 people who put a couple of coins or so in his violin case. In total that morning, he earned $32. When he finished, nobody applauded him, and certainly nobody recognised him. That violinist was a guy called Joshua Bell, who's one of the most famous musicians in the world. That morning, he played one of the most difficult violin pieces that had ever been written. He was playing on a violin that was worth $3.5 million. 2 days before that, he'd played to a sold-out theatre in Boston, where the average ticket price was $150. That was in 2007. And the article that I read on the internet, which wasn't written from a Christian perspective, this is what it concluded. If we do not have a moment to stop and listen to one of the best musicians in the world, playing some of the best music ever written, how many other things are we missing? And you know, people rush along in the busyness of life, and especially at Christmas, they get caught up in the busyness of life. And it's so easy to miss Jesus in all of the hype that is going on. There are some people, you know, who are just like the innkeeper. They're not opposed to Jesus, but he's just irrelevant to their lives. And that's the way they react. There are some people who are like King Herod, and they see Jesus as a threat. Jesus makes them uncomfortable. They don't even want to consider the possibility that Jesus might actually be their king. But then there are others who are like the shepherds and the wise men. They recognise Jesus and they worship Jesus and they praise God for sending Jesus, who is the Saviour, the Messiah, the Lord of all. Jesus didn't come with a lot of fanfare and fuss. And as we said earlier on, his entry into the world was very ordinary and mostly unnoticed. But we should not miss the fact that Jesus really is the Messiah that every single one of us needs to get to know and to acknowledge and worship and give our lives to. God at Christmas, at that first Christmas, was giving Jesus to the world. He was giving Jesus to us, to you and me. He was giving Jesus to simple, ordinary people like the shepherds. He was giving Jesus to people like astrologers, Gentiles, people from a country far away. He is giving Jesus to people who are rich and wise and able to give expensive gifts to him, but also people who are very ordinary like you and me. And I ask the question, just as we finish this morning, is have you recognised who Jesus really is? I mean, have you truly recognised Jesus for who he is? Have you acknowledged him as the King that God has sent to save us from our sin? Because if so, have you bowed your life before him and worshipped him? Have you humbled yourself before him and given yourself to him? Because that is the message of Christmas. That don't just simply rush by. Stop. Check him out. And then, when you discover who Jesus really is, bow your life before him. Confess your sin to him. Open your heart up and receive him into your life and allow him to be the King. That King in the fullest sense that you desperately need. Jesus came to be our Saviour, to be the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. That is the message of Christmas, and that is who Jesus is. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have made yourself known to us by sending Jesus, your own divine Son, into the world at that first Christmas. And Lord, there are still many people today who reject him. Maybe they're just apathetic towards him. But Father, we pray that this morning that you would stir within our hearts a genuine love for Jesus. Oh Lord, help us to recognise him for who he is. Help us to put our hope in him, to worship him, to serve him, to tell others about him. Lord, to live our lives for his praise and his glory. Oh Father, we just pray especially today that people all over the world will get to hear this message and that Jesus might be able to reign as King as he truly is in the hearts and lives of people like us. Oh Father, thank you that today we have the opportunity especially to express our love for him, to give ourselves to him in worship, to lift his name on high, and to celebrate, Lord, with all of our hearts, because this is the message of Christmas. Oh, impress it upon us, each one, we pray today. And we ask all this in his name. Amen.
Church, why don't you stand with us as we sing our final song together?